Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Psychology Podcast and this little mini-series on meditation myths. This week I'm posting an episode every day, each one addressing a different meditation myth so that you can avoid them and deepen your practice, because these myths aren't just cute little cultural ideas that float around. These actually jeopardize your meditation practice. I've seen this many times as a meditation teacher. And it's difficult to convince people that meditation isn't about these things.
This is a Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm Ross Edwards, author, coach, podcaster, and avid practitioner and teacher of psychology and spirituality. In listening to this podcast, you're part of the worldwide Deep Psychology community of tens of thousands of people undertaking profound personal transformation. You can find me on Spotify and Apple, where I release new episodes every Thursday. If you dig what I do and want to help the show grow, share this with a friend and leave a review. You can also go deeper with this work by training with me at deep-psychology.com. Let's get started.
So yesterday, we talked about the first one, which is that meditation is about feeling calm and relaxed. And today's on a similar note, but slightly different. This myth is that meditation is about silencing the mind. So, tongue in cheek a little bit, I just so wish that this was not a myth, because it causes a lot of difficulty when you're teaching meditation. And it would be so much easier to teach it if no one believed that this was the case. Because people just come in with the idea that, well, if I'm meditating, my mind should be calm. You know, I shouldn't be thinking about anything. And wow, it's hard to know where to begin with this one. The thing is, like yesterday's myth, this is not entirely false. What I would say is that if you just simply equate meditation with silencing your mind, you are like seriously misunderstanding and oversimplifying this whole thing. However, having a silent mind in meditation isn't a bad thing. It's actually quite a productive thing. It can be a very good thing if you're taught how to use it properly. However, it's not a goal. Okay, so if this might differ from advice that you've had before, but listen, I've been doing this for 10 years and I can tell you it's not a goal for me. I do not sit down trying to have a silent mind when I meditate, right? I just don't. And that's not because I haven't a bad meditation practice. It's just that I've learned that you simply cannot hold this as a goal in your meditation. You simply cannot. And we're going to explain why that is as we go along here. There's so many things that are wrong with this basic, you know, equation of meditation equals silencing the mind. There's so many things wrong with it that it's hard to know where to begin. But I suppose we can begin by saying that, well, first of all, you actually do not have control over your thoughts, right? That is not something that you really possess. In terms of the content of your thoughts, in terms of like when they arise and what exactly they're going to be talking about or what exactly you're going to be thinking about, you don't really have much control over that. Sure, it is possible to deliberately introduce thoughts into your mind, right? That is absolutely true. There's psychologists and coaches and all the rest of it know that very well. And even that's an important part of meditation practice across the world and across human history, is deliberately generating certain kinds of thoughts, right? However, fundamentally, when it comes to like your everyday life and what you're thinking throughout the day, you actually don't really have much control over the frequency of your thoughts, what the content of them, how long they're going to last, whether they're going to come back. It's not like a switch or a tap where you can just turn off the switch or turn off the tap and all of a sudden you're not thinking anymore. You do not really have that control. And actually, that's one of the main things you'll learn through meditation. You'll learn that you do not have the control. But here's the cool part, that you don't actually need to control like the frequency or the content of your thoughts. That's something you also learn. You learn that your mind just does what it does. And by mind I mean your thoughts, basically. Your thoughts will do what they do, and you actually have the control, not over their frequency or their content or anything, but you have control over how you relate to them, right? And what you'll discover is that this is as good as having no thoughts, because you simply can watch your thoughts and realize what they are, and realize that though you've probably spent your entire life attached to them and believing that you are your thoughts and having very little space between you and your thoughts, that is actually possible, and it's possible to have a radically new relationship to your thoughts, regardless of what the actual content is, regardless of how frequent they are and other factors like that. So really, you do not have control of your thoughts, but that's actually not necessary. So I guess that's the first thing that's wrong with this, you know, this myth about meditation being about silencing the mind.
Another problem with it is that you're basically approaching meditation from the wrong perspective, right? You're approaching meditation like this process that you're going to control, and you're going to make it just as you like it. You know, you're not going to have negative emotions. You're going to make sure you don't have any negative emotions coming up. You're going to make sure that you feel good. You're going to make sure that your mind is quiet, and everything's going to be nicely under control, right? So that's really the opposite of what we're really trying to achieve in meditation. In meditation, you are fundamentally, what you're trying to do is you're trying to open up to all experience. You're trying to allow what is happening to happen. So if you're having emotions, if you're having thoughts, if you're having discomfort in your body, anything, you're trying to allow as much as possible. So it's basically the opposite. Instead of trying to control everything just as you like it and make sure that it's all pleasant and nice, you're basically saying, I don't really have the control here, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow things to happen as they will. In the case of the mind, I'm going to say, well, I can't really control my mind, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up and allow it fully. Now, that might sound counterintuitive if you've never done meditation before, but this is a fundamental instruction at the heart of most, pretty much all, in fact, meditation. And the reason for it is because our relationship to our experience, I just mean body, mind and senses, if you want to make it simple, is really one of resistance and one of wanting to change things all the time and not just being happy in your body, in your mind, in your senses. And from a sort of simple point of view, you could say, well, one of the things we're doing in meditation, we're cultivating a sense of contentment that doesn't depend on what is happening to us at any particular time, right? So you, in having the approach of, I want to control all these variables, you know, I want to make my mind silent, you're actually really taking the exact opposite approach. And I suppose, finally, what's going to happen if you take this approach is that you're going to get very frustrated very quickly in meditation. You know, 5 minutes into your first meditation, if you're sitting there trying to like not think, you're going to realize that it doesn't work and that it's just a fruitless activity. It's a pointless attempt because you do not have control of your thoughts. And so this is what happens to people, and I've seen it, and is that
you know, they'll meditate for a little bit and they'll think, oh, well, my mind isn't going quiet. I can't quiet my mind. So I'm just going to give up and I'll never meditate again. And they don't realize that their entire approach was flawed and that they're believing in instructions that are just not adequate, to be honest with you. So you're just not going to develop a long-term meditation practice. As I said yesterday, to really get the fruits of meditation, you need about 10 years of consistent practice, right? I mean, really getting into the deep end of the pool. I'm not saying that you need 10 years just to get some benefits from it, like visible everyday benefits. To really get to the deep end of the pool, you're going to need about 10 years of consistent practice. And if you come in with the idea, my mind needs to be silent, you're going to quickly conclude that meditation isn't for you. And no wonder, because your perspective is wrong and your goal is wrong, to be quite blunt about it. The thing is, I understand why people believe this, because for one thing, as I said, all the sort of cultural imagery and the sort of general ideas people have about meditation is that we sit there and we feel nice and we feel relaxed and we quiet our mind for 20 minutes and that's it, we move on with our lives. You know, it's part of sort of the modern marketing around meditation. Again, as I said yesterday, meditation is sold as a bit of a relaxation pill, and it's also sold as kind of a pill to quiet your mind, to soothe. And I also understand it from the level of that our mind is wild and it's nice to have some freedom from it. I totally understand that. I know what it's like to have a wild mind. I mean, it can reach the point of having mental health difficulties just because our mind is wild and crazy and we can't get any freedom from it. I totally understand the sort of rationale behind it. And ultimately, that's what one of the main things we're doing in meditation is we are cultivating freedom from the mind. So those two things look similar, you know, quieting the mind and cultivating freedom from the mind. They sound very similar, but actually, when you do meditation, you realize that they're quite different, and the actual sort of methodology behind the two are totally different. In one, we are literally trying to force our mind to be silent, which is not possible. And in the other, we are fully witnessing the mind as it is, right? And without trying to prefer, without identifying with it, without putting a top on it and trying to shove it down, right? So that they look very different, but they look very similar, but they're actually very different. So what do you do about this? You know, if you're noticing that you have this idea that meditation is about silencing the mind, first of all, I'd ask you to recognize that it doesn't work, and that you just chase your tail, and you're getting frustrated because you believe this. So notice that, and then what I'd say is just stop trying to do it. Like, just stop trying to silence your mind. It's not necessary, and the approach you want to take, and there are specific methods for this that I've spoken about earlier this year. If you go back and look for my episodes on negative self-talk, you will discover these techniques. They don't just apply to negative self-talk, which is a specific form of thinking, but it applies to really all thoughts that you have. Cultivate a witnessing perspective on your thoughts, the ability just to see them as they are, to witness them, not to resist them, to disidentify from them while also fully experiencing them. And what this brings is, it brings an awareness that your thoughts are there, they are wild, they tell you all sorts of things about your life, about other people, about what's going to happen in the future, about what's happened in the past. Your mind is wild. It is just this wild bull that you have no control over, and yet at the same time you are not it. And when you fully see it, when you fully experience your mind as it is, you realise that there's really nothing there. The mind is actually very insubstantial and fleeting and sort of transparent. And when you realise that, and when that becomes like a semi-permanent or permanent aspect of your experience, when you're able to tap into that reliably, then quite simply, you do not need to silence your mind because it doesn't pose a problem for you anymore. And actually, the mind becomes, you know, troubling thoughts and sticky thoughts and thought cycles, they actually become like a real source of an opportunity to cultivate your meditation skills further. And they show you that your meditation skills still need to be cultivated. So your relationship to your mind will change, and not just during meditation, but during your life, quite dramatically, if you practice observation of thought, mindfulness of thought, rather than trying to silence it. So that's my recommendations for this myth, and you know, what is a level we can get to that we realise that silencing the mind is actually irrelevant and not necessary. Great, so that's myth number two. I would highly encourage you to come back tomorrow for myth number three. The episode goes live at 4 p.m. British time, 5 p.m. Central European time, and it must be in the morning. If you're in America, make sure to subscribe to this podcast so that you can get the rest of the myths and also my episodes in future. Please leave a comment if you've got anything to share, if you disagree, if you agree, if you like what I'm saying, if you dislike it, if you've got any questions to ask, please feel free to leave a comment. And also consider joining my September meditation classes. Not just meditation classes, actually, really psycho-spiritual training classes, because we don't just meditate, although that is a huge part of what we do. We study psychological theory, we study philosophy, we study the evolution of humanity, we study human history, we do all kinds of other things. That is, the basic idea is to try and have as full a growth in psyche and spirit as possible. And we need more than meditation for that. We need other tools, and that's what we cover in my virtual group. So I hope to see you in September, and I hope to see you again tomorrow for the next myth. Thanks a lot for joining me, and I'll see you very soon.
Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and share with a friend. And if you'd like to go deeper, head to deep-psychology.com to join my training. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you soon.